Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Access Astrology. My name is Ann Ortley. I'm an astrologer here in New York City. I apologize if there's funky reception. My house phone has apparently decided to die. The wireless, the wires in it are bad. So the Verizon guy was here this morning and said, oh, it's dead. I'm like, really? My phone is dead? He goes, your phone is dead. Of course, I'm having a Uranus station. Uranus square. So I'm on my cell. Hopefully the reception is good. Waiting for Mark to join us. I don't think Heather's joining us. I think she's off in the woods somewhere. But what we do here on Access Astrology is we discuss the week's aspects and how to navigate the time and take advantage of the opportunities. And then we're going to take calls from you and our listening audience or emails if you are off, can't call in. And so you can learn to watch astrology in action. And this week we have the fall equinox happening on Saturday night, where the sun goes into Libra, and you are able to balance an egg on its head. It's a very cool thing if you've ever done it before. It goes into Libra at 9, I think it's 9:52 on Saturday night. My calendar here. I do have my calendar here. I just don't have it on my desk. And what happens is the sun crosses the equator. So at that moment in time, the gravitational pull on Earth is perfectly balanced. So at 9:55 p.m. East Coast time, adjust for your time zone, on the 22nd of the month, which is Saturday, the sun crosses the equator, balancing perfectly, which allows eggs to balance perfectly. And you can stand them on your little head, and then about 20 minutes later, the egg kind of tips over and rolls off. So make sure you do it in a place where it can't roll off the counter and break. But it's a very cool thing. And usually somebody from our listening audience posts a picture of the egg on its head. So it's a very cool thing. If you've never done it, I recommend you try it. The other thing that happens this week is Mercury goes into Libra. We are still dealing with Mars out of bounds. But what happened last week was Venus went into Scorpio, right? So even though Venus and Mars were having a square, we had it last week when Serena was having the fight with the ref at the U.S. Open. And that was Libra Capricorn. Now, Mars is in Aquarius, a little bit colder, a little bit chillier, a little bit more detached. And Venus is in Scorpio. She's very passionate, very intense, and focused energy. So watch for the feminine to be pretty riled. I was having a conversation with a friend of mine, and she said, you know, Anne, women are kind of snippy right now. I said, not just women, men too, because Venus in Scorpio. My favorite example of that is Glenn Close in Fatal Attraction. She's hot sex in the elevator. When she's on and turned on, she's a great passionate energy. And then when she's mad, she can boil your bunny. Remember that little kid's bunny boiling in the stove on the, you know, yeah. If you didn't watch it, it's just, trust me, she can boil your bunny. So everybody's a little intense, a little passionate. The energy is pretty wild out there, and it definitely has an energy of overdoing, overbeing, overfeeling. Not that there's anything wrong with that. Now, Venus is going to be in Scorpio until January 7th. Yes, you heard that right. September, October, November, December, January 7th. Right now, she just entered Scorpio. She just got to 4. It happened yesterday, which was my Venus. I have 3 Venus returns this year because Venus is back and forth over my Venus in Scorpio. I know where I speak with Venus in Scorpio. And not that I've boiled any bunnies, but, you know, when you have Scorpio Venus, you kind of get a little, intense. It's a little intense placement. So Venus, the feminine energy is very intense right now, good or bad, you know, and because Mars is out of bounds. When he's out of bounds, we tend to overreact or overdo or over something because he's an over energy. So we watch him and we say, wow, now he's coming back in bounds next week on the 24th, 25th. I haven't looked up exactly what day he comes, you know, what time he comes in, but he comes in then. But in the meantime, because he's out of bounds and he and Venus are having a fight, you know, we can watch the stuff unfold. Now, we did have last week, I said, watch for Thursday, the Kavanaugh nomination, and we had the woman step forward with her allegations of assault and attempted rape by the nominee for the Supreme Court. Again, Saturn, you can't make this up, 35 years, 36 years, that's a Saturn cycle. And of course, back in 91, Dianne Feinstein came in the year of the women that followed the Anita Hill hearings, and she's the one who received the letter. And I did post on Instagram, and I will be posting on Facebook a little bit of analysis of this, so kind of watch for that if you are a Facebook friend of mine, because I do think it's important. It's astrology in action, and it's always fascinating. Her chart, the woman who accuses Brett Kavanaugh of assaulting her, her chart matches the eclipse. It really sets off the eclipse. And her Jupiter, she's a Sag, Sun and Venus and Sag, right on the ascendant for the Washington, D.C. chart for the July 27th eclipse. She wrote the letter to Dianne Feinstein on July 30th, 3 days later. And her Jupiter is 4 Leo, right on the Sun for that eclipse. And, of course, right where the nodes of fate are right now. So now she's stepping forward, and we're hearing her story. So it's an interesting astrology. I definitely encourage you to study it. It's like astrology in action. You can't make this stuff up. So the excitement for this week is Virgo. Mercury and the Sun, rather, are going to be combust. And when they join combust in Virgo, they're very committed to their purpose or their vision of how it should be. And, of course, the Mars-Uranus square that we had yesterday was kind of a lot of fighting energy. We still have that. And then what we're going to go into next week is we're going to go into the Pluto station energy. Pluto station's at 18 on Brett Kavanaugh's, I think it's his Mercury. Station's on something that he has at 18, and it stations on the eclipse chart of Lilith, which is the dead baby, the abortion, the doula, the dark feminine energy. So there's a lot of energy coming over the next few weeks. So stay tuned to your astrological ephemerises and watch the world explain astrology to you in a brilliant way. So that's the scoop. And just kind of know that with the ingress, what will happen, that ingress is really interesting because there's a pile of planets that are all 01, 01, 2, 3, 01. So it's a very, very active ingress. Now, we've been talking for a while of having your focus and your vision and where you're going to go with that North Node in Leo. But now with all the planets at zero, boom, 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 they're kind of starting off the races. So you're going to feel this week everything goes really fast because it is. It's going really fast. And we're going to perhaps feel a little bit overwhelmed or a little bit beady it is, but that's part of the deal. It's a cardinal planet. Mercury is going to go into a cardinal sign. The Sun's going to go into a cardinal sign. And everybody moves quicker. But right now, this week, as Virgo and the Virgo Sun and Mercury meet up, they're combust. And then next week, they're going to meet up by declination, but they're going to be in Libra. So declination is another form of amplifying the energy. And they're going to shift from Virgo, which is precision and precise and how do we do it, into Libra, which is partner relating. But remember, Libra is answering to that very, very passionate Venus in Scorpio. Boil your bunny or hot sex in the elevator. All right. So watch the energy, recognize the feminine's cranky, it's getting the square from Mars, not in the mood to put up with it. And we're going to go forward with this energy. Okay. So we did have a couple people write. So I'm going to take those questions. I haven't seen Mark come in yet. I'm looking for him, but I don't see him yet. Okay. Quick review on access. I'm wondering when things will start moving for me soonish as life as it relates to new career opportunities. Net-net, I took a self-imposed sabbatical last year to Colorado. Has been wonderful and entertaining in terms of personal growth, but have been feeling stuck, confused, torn on whether it's the right place for me. I've been on the job hunt for a while now, nearly getting an offer at one place before they went into a hiring freeze. The position's been put on hold. And I'm really looking for some life direction, wondering what my chart is showing, and if it looks like there may be some positive forward motion soon. And this is from Kelsey. So hang on 1 second, Kelsey, and I'll type your chart in, and we will see what the heavens say for you. Okay. So I'm putting my cell phone down, so hopefully you can still hear me. And again, I do apologize for any bad reception. All right, so Kelsey's birth information is 12/9/1984, December 4th, 1984, at 7:12. Oops, 7:12 12 p.m. in Des Moines. D-E-S-M-O-I-N-M-O-I-N-S, Iowa. All right. Des Moines is in Polk County. All right. So, Kelsey, I'm not sure I'm saying that right, but so we're talking a lovely Sag energy, Sun Uranus, which is the unexpected changes that happens, and she's willing to live in either Denver or New York. And so she's wondering when things are going to start moving forward. So what's been happening is the ruler of your chart is Cancer rising, and the moon is at 7 degrees Cancer. So all year long, it's been getting the opposition from Saturn in the sixth house of work. And it's also been squaring your midheaven, which is 3 Aries. So Saturn going through the sixth has been saying, so, like, what's the work you want? It went in there in December. It's been in your sixth house for a year or so. In your natal chart, it's going to be in there for another year this year. Saturn gets off of 7 when we get to October timeframe. Gets off 3 the end of this month because he just went direct last week at 2.5. And because Saturn's on your south node, the chart is really very south node Saturn. People tend to have very strong Saturn experiences. And Saturn, of course, co-rules your workhouse and your relationship house. So you have a lot of stuff that kind of says, slow down, we're taking a sabbatical. And, of course, 14.5 years ago, you started some work project that now is ready to move forward. And now as you're finishing that up, and as Jupiter goes through the last little bits of Scorpio and gets off of your north node and your south, or off of Saturn and your south node, he starts a new 12-year cycle this fall, and Saturn gets off your moon, which rules you and your work and your relationships to others. So those all go. And then, of course, Mars, you have Mars and Aquarius. So Mars got as high as 9 Aquarius, and then he's retrograde. So you have a Mars return coming soon also. So all 3 of those things are going to combine to give you a forward motion pretty quick. And if we're looking at timing for it, Saturn's going to release you from his captivity, from your captivity, as he squares your ascendant, your midheaven rather, week of October 10th. He sets you free from opposing your moon, which is you moving forward, as of November 28th, and then Jupiter hits your Saturn and starts a new 12-year work cycle as of October 3rd, and then we have a new Venus star point, Sun and Venus joined on your Pluto, and Pluto for you is a creative energy, and he's at rules your fifth. So we can anticipate the end of beginning of October, it starts to move, and it really takes off shortly thereafter. Also, once Pluto goes direct on your Jupiter, the last week in September, we can anticipate. So I think you're going to be moving pretty quickly. And now Mercury is on your Neptune. So it's also a time for you to do some positive dream work about what you want your work to be. What are you looking for? What kinds of things inspire you? Because you have no planets in the first quadrant, houses 1, 2, 3, the houses of me, myself, and I, this chart tends to get invited to do things. So you have to make sure that you're being invited to do something you really want to do or something that appeals to you. So I hope that helps and it gives you some forward motion on the work front. Next up, we had another letter. Jennifer wrote saying, my progressed sun went into Pisces a few years ago, but things have continued to be very uphill. There has been little relief from the ongoing disenfranchisement and ghetto circumstances, which are more than I can take. It's also more than I can afford, as this has somehow been accepted as normal for a lot of people who come from more civilized backgrounds. When will I finally see some money from past wrongdoings and other sources? I have eighth house planets. Under the circumstances, I can't really take anything further except my independent work and studies. The residential circumstance is oppressive, and I need the kind of money that will put me back within my orientation. Having to scramble for every little thing and make about 14 minimum payments on debts every month is too much. We don't seem to be moving closer to any kind of meritocracy, and the people who've done me wrong don't seem to be getting shamed into sending relocation and recovery funds as the eclipses of the past few years would have indicated. I know Pluto hasn't gone direct yet, also in my eighth house. Thanks, if you can do a finance reading, and that's from Jennifer. All right. So Jennifer's birth information is January 5th, 1970, at 2:07 p.m. in New York, New York. Hang on while I type her in. This is the part that's always hard. I have to pull up the charts and go, okay, type her in. And because she's not on the phone, I get to talk while I'm doing it. And all right, so Jennifer is born on January 7th, or January 5th, rather. January 5th, 1970. And she's born at 2:07 p.m. in New York. New York. So we're basically looking for her for when is it going to shift, and also a little kick on the financial stuff. So her comment that the eclipses are been activated and she would have thought they would have brought her something, what that's probably tied to is the eclipses have been going through the fourth house and the 10th house. And in January, they switched in, they were right on her midheaven, and then they switched into the third house and the ninth house. Again, a person with no planets in houses 1, 2, 3. And again, her birthday is January 5th, 1970, 2:07. And she's a Capricorn sun, and she's a Gemini rising. She does have Saturn at 2 degrees of Taurus, which is getting the hit from Uranus right now. And Uranus, of course, is in her fifth house of creativity, and it rules her direction in life. It rules your direction in life, Jennifer. It's kind of weird when I'm not talking to the person. But so then we look at that Capricorn stuff over there. And, of course, Saturn got to 9, not to 10, not to 15, the degrees of your Venus and your Sun. But he did stimulate them last January, on January 9th, actually, a couple days after you were born, when there was a Sun-Venus conjunction with Pluto in 19, again in your eighth house of money, and also aspecting your moon in Sag. So we have a lot of energy with the chart about kind of looking for things to change or things to shift. And Saturn, of course, in the eighth house is the house of accountability and debt and people wanting to make balances happen. And we also have Jupiter in Scorpio, so you had your Jupiter return last fall, which would have led you to think, okay, maybe now I'm going to be moving into a new chapter. The chapter you're in when you enter the period of time, Jupiter rules, and it's important in your chart because he rules your seventh house, he rules your workhouse, he rules your moon, and he rules your north node of fate, and he rules Pisces, your Mars. So when Jupiter changes signs, every 12 years we get a whole new story. So the first 12 years, Jupiter is run by the moon or works with the moon. And then 12 to 24, Jupiter works with Mercury. And then 24 to 36, Jupiter works with Venus. And then 36 to 48, which is where you are now, Jupiter works with the sun. When you enter the 48th year, your Jupiter return says, okay, now we're going to go work with that Mars and Pisces on the north node. So the Mars in Pisces on the north node and also the Mars is a co-ruler of your workhouse indicate that this is the time for you to really start working on your spiritual path. Your Mars is sextile to the sun, and it is on the north node. So it says, you know, the Virgo south node counts and keeps track of things and says, well, I got one, you got three. Okay, let's make it even. I got one, you got three. Okay. And then, of course, the Gemini chart watches for the patterns. Gemini's rising, watch for patterns. With Mercury retrograde in your chart in Capricorn, now it's gone direct and it's coming to your midheaven, but that's not for a couple more years. With Mercury retrograde in Capricorn, there can be a way, you know, where your chart kind of hangs on to grudges or hangs on longer than it should. Now, the progressed moon just broke free of Pluto and it doesn't come to your Uranus for another 10 months. Which means that your chart is being asked to move forward on its own. And, of course, once the moon gets out of Virgo, which is in about 2 months, you're going to have more opportunity to make money. But really the last 28 months, 2-8, a lot of poverty or a lot of feeling like, gee, I'm rubbing pennies together to try and get by. And the money situation should improve because the moon rules the second house of money once that moon goes into Libra. But right now, I would say to you, you know, the chart is saying you have to do stuff and you have to work on your spiritual path and work on that Mars on the north node. So I would say to you, be the happy warrior. Say, okay, you know, what do I need to do? What action do I need to take? Because I need to move out into the world, into the house of hopes and dreams where that north node is and that Mars is, and give myself permission. Uranus is going to come over your Saturn in the next couple of weeks. It was on your Saturn, and it's now going retrograde. It'll come back over your Saturn next spring. So you basically have a little bit of time here before anything in your chart's going to really kind of shift. as a payoff. The North Node goes into Cancer in November, but it doesn't get into your money houses if you're looking for some kind of financial remuneration until next spring. So I would say to you, you know, definitely time for you to kind of move yourself forward without waiting for anybody and to say, okay, this is what I want to do. And as a Capricorn Sun, Venus in the eighth, eventually, yes, it works out, but Capricorns always have to wait longer than everybody else. And do everything twice because your Gemini rising says you have to do it two times. So I hope that helps, Jennifer. But I would say to you, it's not going to happen right away. So you really definitely want to work on some stuff for yourself so that you can feel like you're making some progress. All right. And then we'll take a call from a listener because we still have 10 minutes. I am powering through these questions. All right. Hi, 631-506. You're on the air. How can I help?
Hi. My birthday is this month, and I'm just wondering if you can tell me what I can expect.
Okay, what's your birthday?
September 30th, 1982.
September 30th, 1982, yep.
Mm-hmm.
What time?
I believe it was 11 p.m. in Southampton, New York.
Southampton, okay. And where are you living now?
Right now I'm in Massac, New York, Massac Beach.
Okay. All right, let me find Southampton. For some reason, it's not finding it. I know it's out there because I've been there.
It's 1H. Sometimes people put 2H, like two, like separate. It's one word, 1H. Maybe that might be
okay.
It.
All right, that might do it. That's what did it. Thank you. You would think I would know that.
Yeah.
All right, so... Okay, so September 30th, 1982 at 11 p.m., what's the theme for the year ahead, right?
Right.
Okay, big year for you in terms of relationships because you're going to be having Saturn in your seventh house. He just went direct, and he's going to be pushing on you about relationships. He's going to be saying to you, look back what you started 14 and a half years ago, and there's a payoff coming. What's that payoff about? And it could have been there was a change in relationships in April, when Saturn stationed on the South Node, and then he went backwards to last week. And he kind of is like pushing you now to move forward. He's also going to be squaring your Sun and your Mercury. Because you have the Sun and the Mercury square the nodes of fate, you have what astrologers call it a skip step, where your chart always has to go, okay, take into consideration, in your case, relationships and why you're in them. And then, of course, that answers to your Venus in Virgo. At the last Libra planet's answer to your Venus in Virgo. And with your Saturn-Pluto answering to there, this is a big relationship year for you coming in. And also you're going to have Jupiter going through the sixth house of work once he gets into Sag, which is in November, the first week in November. And he's going to hit your Uranus, which represents a huge change for you in terms of money from other people, because Uranus co-rules your eighth, and also travel opportunities, second partner opportunities, education opportunities. And as Jupiter spends a year in your sixth house, it's like a big bloom. And so we watch this bloom and we say, wow, I'm really blooming this year. And the focus, of course, being born in 82, you're blooming the Sun. You're blooming who you are in relationship to the world, what's of value to you, and really self-expressing. And there's been a theme tonight where we've had three charts with no planets in the first quadrant, houses 1, 2, 3. So your chart often gets invited, and because you're kind of a specialist with all your planets in a little clump down there in the bottom, it's a really important year for you to really focus on the creative work you want to do. And also with the moon at the top, with Neptune on the moon, really just trust the universe to carry you where you're supposed to go. With these kinds of transits and this kind of stuff coming, and with the Venus star point in the fifth house of your creative, you also are having, you know, you've got a lot of new stuff starting. But in the sky right now, or by progression, your Sun and Venus just met up. So this is a very passionate time. And I would also ask you to think back to what happened in March when Jupiter went over your Sun-Venus star point by progression, and then when it went direct in July. So there's a lot of activity around what are your hopes and dreams and what do you want. Your progress moon's in the first, So it's a little in Cancer. So it's a little bit more, I want to stay home. I want to kind of sit on the couch, but it also is a Cancer moon. So it's like, okay, let me go find the couch to get off, you know, go find somebody to sit on the couch with me. And that progressed moon is going to be in that for the next 15 months. So a lot of times when this happens, you find this really serious and significant partner with Saturn in the seventh. And you're always going to look for a slight age difference with your partners because Capricorn rules your seventh. So they can be 3.5, 7 years, 10 years, slight age difference from you, and that's okay. But I would say to you, this is a really, really big relationship year, and I would watch for it really to start to unfold anytime after October 26th when we have that new Venus star point. And it could have been somebody you met last January who cycles back in. They left for a while because they weren't able to commit, and now they're ready to come. But I would expect you to be in a really serious relationship by next March at the latest, March 6th, but I think that the big relationship this spring and a love affair, you know, a really passionate, connected, creative. If you're partnered already, then it's in the house of children, so this can be a very big fertility time. Does that make sense for you? Are you looking for
Everything resonated like that you said. Just like with, you know, the universe is pulling me to be more creative, and then with my job, you know, just really quick, I left a relationship and coming back, and this was around March, and I didn't know that I was pregnant at that time, and then this past the end of July, I actually found another job working from home. So I am like home, but, you know, and I really do feel like, you know, this time, you know, I'll really, you know, because I learned a lot of lessons that I'll really, you know, find my partner. But I've really been feeling pulled to, like when you said, money coming from, you know, like other people, you know, my intuition is just like getting really, really strong itself. So Yeah. I feel pulled to do work with other people, like as far as that's concerned. So that was like, like wow too. And then when you said like, you know, March, you know, because I really do feel like I learned a lesson, you know, from my children's father that we shouldn't be together. But, you know, I'm not sure if it's him that, you know, when you say he wasn't ready to commit, or if it's like a whole nother person. But I do feel like it's going to be like a really good relationship year for me going forward.
You have a configuration. The baby's born in 83, have that Saturn Pluto conjunction in Libra. So one of the really strong partner energies in your life, or one of the really strong works in your life, is understanding relationships, all different kinds.
But most important is
the relationship with your children. So part of what the sun is, you know, when you're in this phase, the sun is saying, you know, whether it's a partner that you're with forever or not, we're really working, we're ready for you to experience that next kind of relationship of children. And then that actually may very well lead you to find a partner, whether it's the man who's the father of your child or another one, you know, coming in behind that person. Because the chart has it. And next year, 2020, Saturn and Pluto are going to meet up again, which kind of closes the cycle that you're in. And says, okay, so this is the commitment, this is the partner, this is where we're going. And so, you know, this next year and a half, it's really about you saying, well, what is partner for me, and what do I need to nurture? And it's hard sometimes with your chart because all the planets are in the, there's no planets in the first quadrant. But right now with the moon there for the next 7 years, the moon is going to say to you, you know, what is it really that you nurture? And with that grand trine that you're having in water, it's really honoring your dreams and your intuition and your feelings, and really just trusting the process that the universe has you and is supporting you. And as Saturn comes above the ascendant, it may very well be the partner returns, or it may be that there's somebody new. But either way, the child is the important part, because that's the universe is saying we're asking you to grow in a whole new way. And that started last fall. So it's big.
Yeah.
But I would just
That was when my son was born. Wow. Both they were born a year apart. My daughter and my son was born October 30th. He's going to be 2. My daughter's going to be 1 November 9th. So it's like, wow,
Okay. So off you go into the world. Sail that
Thank
boat and have a good
so
time.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
So nice
Thank
you
so
you.
Much.
You're welcome. Okay. All right, everybody, we're done. That was fun. I got a couple questions in, and we wish you all a great week. And we'll be back next week with another episode of Access Astrology, where you're allowed to tune in and have your questions answered. Feel free to email them to us or to wait and call and us call on you. And this is Ann Ortley signing off, and Heather and Mark are off on a special assignment doing something else that's fun. So I look forward to catching you all next week. Take care, and hopefully the reception on this was good because I'm on my cell phone because my house phone died. That's my Venus retrograde story. The guy said, your wires died. I'm like, how can my wires die? They just die in the wall? And he's like, yeah, copper wires, they die sometimes. And, of course, Venus is in Scorpio, and Venus rules copper. So I guess she decided to kill my phone. But we'll, you know, I got three passes of her, so we'll see if she brings me something else. Take care. Wish you all a great, 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 great week. Watch for that ingress. Balance those eggs Saturday night. Amaze and astound your friends with your knowledge of the geopolitic gravitational forces affecting Earth. Take care. Remember, 9:55 p.m. East Coast time. Adjust for your time zone. Stand that egg on its head. It's a great, fun thing. And you amaze your friends. If you're at a bar, it's really fun because you say, I'm going to make the egg stand on my head and get people to lay money down. Buy you at least a beer. Take care. Have a great week. Bye-bye.